This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Morning, a little after 8:05, and I know there's a lot of people looking forward to hearing what our man Rodney Orr, the Tider Insider, has to say today, the day after. Is it still National Signing Day? I mean, we have the early period, the late period, well, whatever it is. There was some recruiting news yesterday. Rodney, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great, John and Barry. How are you guys?
Doing outstanding. Hopefully you've gotten some sleep. Yesterday's a busy day. The positives from yesterday, what were the highlights in Alabama's second National Signing Day yesterday?
Well, I thought there were some positives, contrary to popular belief. I really felt like, regardless, the two key players to me going into the day were Patrick Surtain and the cornerback out of Plantation American Heritage, Florida, and also Jalen Waddle, the receiver out of Texas, the punt return receiver. I've raved about Jalen Waddle on this show since June, and what a huge pickup he was. And I think when you look at Patrick Surtain and also Eddie Smith, I think he's vastly underrated as a cornerback. They signed him yesterday out of Slidell, Louisiana. And I thought, you know, when you look at this, I've been following it a while, and I can't imagine that there's been a better secondary class signed by Alabama off the top of my head. I mean, I just think it was a fantastic signing class. They needed it. You guys know they lose six DBs. So a lot of these guys can come in and really compete. Of course, they had some guys here. Sabian Smith was already here, the JUCO player that signed in this class, and he went through some of the practices with Georgia and for the Clemson and Georgia games. But overall, that's pretty much what I think was positive from yesterday. Those two guys and Eddie Smith as well. So didn't fill all of those needs there. Obviously, they lost some guys, but overall, those are the positives.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you. You know, filling needs seems to be really important. I mean, you can sign all these five stars and blah, 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 but addressing needs over the years that we've been doing this with you, Rodney, seems to be very important. Did they do that in some areas? Maybe some areas did they come a little short on?
Well, first of all, let me say this. The 2017 class, last year's class, that was like signing a class and a half. Think about it. You had six guys on offense that were true freshmen in the fourth quarter of the national championship game when you're trying to come back and win. Think about the talent on that class in that freshman group. There's a lot of outstanding players on the defensive side as well. So, you know, this year, and this is not a spin or trying to make excuses, this is an outstanding class that Alabama just signed. There's three or four guys that if you add them to this class, just three or four, the perception of the whole thing changed. It probably ends up number two or three in the country. They did miss on some. So were all the needs filled? No, they weren't. You missed a couple of guys on the defensive line that I felt like you really needed to get, whether it was Bobby Brown, Malik Langham out of Huntsville, or even Glenn Beal, who is a tight end, but I thought he was going to be a defensive end at Alabama. So you missed on those guys. You probably could have used a linebacker. Definitely another linebacker, in my opinion. J.J. Peterson was coming here. But when Pruitt went to Tennessee, that changed everything. So they filled the needs in the secondary extremely well, as I mentioned. And on the offensive side, I just thought you needed to get some spot players here and there and Waddle. So I think, they filled most of what they needed, but they did come up a little bit short, maybe on the defensive line and at linebacker.
It's, you know, I love focusing on the players that Alabama did sign, but some of our fan base is clamoring about some of the players they didn't. What was the story with Bobby Brown? I mean, he was committed and he was solid, right? Do you have an idea or an insight into what happened there?
Well, Barry, first of all, you used the word solid. The definition of a solid commitment has changed dramatically over the years.
Well,
as you know,
no kidding.
It really doesn't mean a whole lot. To be frank with you, I think Bobby's got a tremendous amount of talent. He's got a lot of, athletic ability for a guy his size, can move extremely well. You know, I just think Bobby's got a lot of maturing to do. He assured and reassured Alabama repeatedly up until yesterday morning that he was coming, that he was signing. And, you know, sometimes a guy you think's got that kind of potential, you'll take a risk and trust him, and you got burned. That's the only way to put it. He burned you. And he knew it over the last week. You could sense it. You know, I followed this. You guys have followed it. You can sense when a guy's, you know, or his actions make, you know, kind of lining up with his words. And I didn't think they were. When he went to Texas A&M on that unofficial visit last weekend, I knew it was danger. So, you know, that's what happened.
And I guess the coaches know that, too. They sense that, you know, this isn't going the way we need it to.
Yeah, I think that, again, because he continued to reassure them, his mother, I think, continued to reassure Alabama that he was coming. You know, I think they hung in there with him and kind of took the gamble a little bit. But I did think – but, again, I say this to John and Barry, and you know, it's not being critical. When you're in the midst of a you know, trying to put this class together, you have to make some tough decisions. And I really thought they had Malik Langham locked up if they had gone ahead and just closed it out, said, okay, Malik, go ahead and commit publicly. Let's do this. I really think that he would have signed with them, and I think potentially he's going to be an outstanding player at Florida as a defensive lineman. But those are decisions that coaches have to make, you know, at points in time. And I just think it was a little bit of a, if you want to say it was a tactical error maybe of some sort. But, you know, you can't be too critical.
Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com. The lack of a quarterback in this signing class by design, was it not a major point of emphasis, or did they just strike out?
You know, Saban said yesterday that you know, they didn't want to take a reach at quarterback. Doesn't mean that Brock Purdy and Brevin White weren't good players, or James Foster's a great player out of Montgomery, of course, headed to Texas A&M. But they felt like that, you know, given their young quarterbacks they have, you know, they weren't going to get the kind of guy they were looking for. I think they made that decision the last 10, 12 days before signing day. And I really believe they've got their eyes set on a grad transfer quarterback. I think his name will probably emerge pretty soon. But keep an eye on that. And I do think that, you know, right now, again, until all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, you know, you like to wait and allow that to unfold. But I was told about maybe 10 days ago, listen, they're not going to take a high school quarterback. They've got a grad transfer. And so keep your eye open for that.
And could be some other transfers coming in after signing day at other positions, maybe some defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, and I don't know who they've got zeroed for that, who their focus is on, but Nick Saban kind of made that clear yesterday. And when he said that, I think that certainly means that we've had some inquiries. You know, we've got some guys that are saying they want to come here as grad transfers. That's what I took from it. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but, you know, why would he say it if, you know, he didn't have some sort of an idea that this might be happening? So I think that might be interesting.
The coaching staff changes over the last several weeks, did that have any influence in your mind?
I think it did. I think with, you know, Ansley leaving, that probably hurt a little bit with Quay Walker, the linebacker who ended up in Georgia. But I'll say this, too. Listen, you know, Kirby's smart, that, you know, everything they've got going over there, Georgia, whatever. But I think Quay Walker in the end might have been difficult to get out of Georgia. But I do think, too, J.J. Peterson, like I said, his relationship with Jeremy Pruitt, Pruitt had him locked up for Alabama. It wasn't any question. And then to show you the strength of their relationship, when Pruitt went to Tennessee, J.J. Peterson, top linebacker, he committed sight unseen. You know, he had never even visited Tennessee, and he committed to him and said it felt like home. You know, he hadn't been there, but it felt like home. But that all went back to his relationship with Jeremy Pruitt. Mm-hmm. So it did hurt.
Now that we look at the length and breadth of this signing class from all the way back in December through yesterday, two-tiered question for you. Who's the best? Who's the top? And who do you think is somebody? I know you've mentioned a couple of names already, Eddie Smith and Jalen Moody. Who's the absolute keystone of this signing class? And who do you think is a real dark horse for the fans to look for?
You know what? I got asked that question yesterday, so if you don't mind, I don't want to give one guy as the keystone. When you got a Yabi Anoma as a pass rusher, the number one pass rusher in the country, in my opinion, 24 sacks, you know, that's a great player. When you have Patrick Surtain in the secondary, Joshua Jode, Savion Smith, I mean, I think all of those guys, when you look at them, are key parts of the keystone of this whole group, as you would say, and there are others, but those are names that pop out to me. On the offensive side, Jalen Waddle. I mean, I don't know that I could say any more about him than what I've said. This guy has a touch of David Palmer in him. He has Amari Cooper acceleration, great hands. He's a difference maker, and I think when you see him next year, when he gets on the field, and he's going to play, even with those young receivers that they have, like Nick Saban said yesterday, he's different. He brings something different to us as a slot receiver. You watch him, and I tell you this, I'm going to make you a bold prediction. You know I don't like to do that, but if they'll put him back there and give him a chance to return punts, he's going to make it happen. This guy's got what it takes as a punt return guy. So that's kind of my summary of that. As far as the guy, the kind of under-the-radar guy, I mentioned Eddie Smith, as you said, at corner. But I love Slade Bolden. He's a little slot receiver that reminds you of maybe those guys at the New England Patriots. He's going to be a really, really good player. He's played multiple positions in high school, was a quarterback, was a receiver, was a running back. People kind of compared him a little bit to Christian McCaffrey as a runner. I think, you know, you look at a guy that put up over 4,500 yards of offense last year, at his high school, had 110 career touchdowns. I think he's an under-the-radar guy.
Rodney, with the additions of Kirby Smart, of who we just spoke about, and then, you know, Jimbo Fisher at A&M, Dan Mullen now down at Florida, obviously Gus Malzahn here at Auburn, it seems that the recruiting landscape out there has gotten a little more difficult, it's a little more challenging, it's a little more competitive. Is that just talk because these coaches are well known and, you know, people assume that's going to be the way it is, you know, even though, you know, Florida and A&M didn't finish as high as maybe some people thought that they might. In the future, is that what you're hearing on the recruiting trail, that things are just going to become more and more competitive out there with these guys in the league?
John, you know, that's a great question. I got a text message yesterday. What's going on? You know, what's wrong? And I just said, listen, it's not a free reign anymore. It's not a free reign. And what I meant by that, Nick Saban came in. He was so far ahead of the curve, so far ahead of everyone else, that he dominated recruiting for all these years. And now you've got guys that have Saban ties, that have Saban, that know his program, that know the way he does things. You got Jeremy Pruitt now going to Tennessee. You've obviously got Kirby Smart kind of executing the plan over at Georgia, and has a lot of great players in his own state. You know, Dan Mullen now at Florida, Willie Taggart at FSU. Now, Dabo Swinney obviously doesn't have Saban ties, but, you know, he's locking down over in that area and competing over here. He got the number one player, quote-unquote, Justin Ross, yesterday from the state of Alabama. So you got Fisher out at Texas A&M. He's making it more difficult to recruit Texas, where Alabama's gotten some good players. He cost him Bobby Brown yesterday. So it's not a rumor. It's not speculation. It's the truth.
Talk about Justin Ross, because I certainly was getting the feeling that he was Alabama's and, you know, in-state guy. That I think it surprised a lot of people yesterday.
Well, it did me. To be honest, I had gotten a call Tuesday and said, watch out, Ross may be, you know, he may be headed elsewhere. And I thought he was Alabama's. I really think that Justin Ross all along kind of wanted to go to Clemson. I thought that, but I felt like his family kind of preferred Alabama, and I thought that would be a key factor, you know, with him, to keep him in the state. Obviously, it wasn't enough, but I did feel like that's really what he wanted to do very early on, that he just liked Clemson. He had a great relationship with Dabo and whoever else recruited him for Clemson. So, you know, they did a good job with him.
I mean, his mother didn't walk off the stage, did she, like one of these other players I saw on a...
That was quite a scene there with Jacob Copeland.
We'll have to flesh that one out a little bit later on, because that was certainly interesting. Well, we've gotten a bunch of texts just since you've been on the air, Rodney. I've gotten five saying, see if you can get Rodney to name the name of that graduate transfer quarterback. All I can tell him is check the website at TigerInsider.com for all of the breaking information about that.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
That name's probably going to emerge pretty soon, I would think. But, you know, timing's everything.
Yes.
That's exactly right. That's called a tease in the business, people. Just check out the website at TigerInsider.com, which is always chock full of information and conversation and discourse. So many things available on the website, and the price is right, Rodney. Tell everybody about it.
Yeah, it's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card, or if you prefer, there's an address there to send a check. And again, gives you all our premium information, as well as, the forum, where it's nonstop. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It's nonstop if you're an Alabama fan.
It is nonstop, and I know you've been going nonstop, Rodney, this entire week with the signing day yesterday. And, man, we greatly appreciate your time. Always good stuff. And, man, we'll talk again next week.
I look forward to it, guys. Y'all take care.
All right, buddy. Man, great stuff from the Tider Insider, Rodney Orr, today on